Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Here we go.
Everybody is just on the beat screaming, kill, kill, kill. This is hockey.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
This is the Puck Podcast.
I was very entertained and excited. I couldn't believe how good it was.
Shut your yap.
This is the Puck Podcast.
There's a point where it just becomes absurd.
That was gutless.
This is the Puck Podcast.
Hi, I'm Wayne Gretzky, and you're listening to the real great one.
This is the Puck Podcast with Eddie Garcia and Doug Stolhan.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
From Los Angeles, I'm Eddie Garcia, along with Doug Stolhan. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Puck Podcast. It is Wednesday, July 10th, 2024. On this week's show, in the first period, we'll recap all the news from the past week in the NHL. And spoiler alert, there's not much. Second period, though, we're going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show and a longtime Nashville Predators voice, Pete Weber, talk about all the excitement surrounding the Predators' offseason moves. And in the third period, we'll read your emails, all that and more coming up with this edition of Lock. He just switched over to the other show. More coming up on this edition of, hey, listen, I do a lot of radio.
I was going to say,
things, all right?
Five days a week.
Sometimes you mix things up. I've called Ben Maller, Doug Stolhan before, so
we look so similar.
Yeah, on this edition of the Puck Podcast. But before all that, time for our quick off-ice report. Maybe not so quick, because what the hell else are we going to talk about? A couple of minutes about what's going on with us. I'm Eddie Garcia, and he is Doug Stolhan. Hello, Doug.
Hello, everybody.
Sounds like we're all in a good mood today.
I did something today I have not done in 19 years, Eddie.
So many jokes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let them all out.
Something you haven't done in 19 years.
Yep.
Rode a bike.
No. Any other guesses?
No.
Bought a car.
Oh. Yeah. What did we get rid of? And what did we
The Saturn is no more.
Oh,
2005 Saturn Ion. Literally falling apart around me. The engine was in perfect shape. I think it was good for another, it had 240,000 miles on it. I think it was good for another 240,000. Easily, wow. I would have driven that engine cross country without hesitation. Wow. It was in perfect shape. But about 6 months ago, the clip that holds the sun visor on the driver's side just fell out. And I'm like, well, that's not good. The sun visor is still attached, but the clip that holds it in place, gone. For years now, the gear shift, because it was a manual transmission, separated in your hands, came apart in two pieces. So you kind of, if you moved it more than you needed to, it would just come apart in your hands. So that's been an issue. And then on the 4th of July, I'm driving down to my parents to enjoy the fireworks extravaganza. And a part of the door just fell off. And I'm like, it's time. When parts of the door are falling off, it is time to retire the car. So it's like I can keep investing and trying and finding parts for this is long since impossible because it's Saturn doesn't exist anymore. They're not manufacturing parts. You're just getting parts off of other Saturns that are just as old. So I said, it's time for a new car. And so luckily it still ran. It wasn't like I needed one that day, but I'd known this day was coming. So I was kind of prepared and went and, started visiting the car dealerships and started test driving and looking around and found what I liked and found the price I liked and said, deal. And so literally went down this morning to finish all the paperwork, which is a long process, and got the keys, drove it back home, and it's outside now waiting to take me to work later today.
I'm sorry, what type of car was it?
It's a 2006 Saturn.
Ah, okay.
So I upgraded 1 year.
Oh, all right.
No, it's a Nissan Ariya, completely electric.
Oh, okay.
So fancy, fancy. The technology jump that I just did is ridiculous. Like I had a radio with a CD player. You remember you drove it with me to Power Trip. You know, I had manual windows, manual door or power windows, power door locks. It wasn't like it was antiquated, but no touch screen, no nothing fancy, no navigation, none of this. No rear, you know, you go put it in reverse to park and cameras come on, none of that. Yeah. So just doing all that stuff. And I still had to put the key in the ignition and turn it to start it. That's all gone now. It's just in my pocket. And so it's very nice. Obviously, I like it or I wouldn't have bought it. But I'm hoping this one lasts me 19 years because it was very nice not having a car payment for 14 years.
Yeah. Well, we have two cars and we don't have a payment on either of them anymore. So I hear you. And I've got over 200,000 miles on my car. And it's been phenomenal. Every time I take it in, I'm expecting them to say, okay, well, we got to do all this. And they never do. So
it runs well. I mean, if you keep getting the oil changed regularly and take it in for service, it'll last, man. That's what I did with my Saturn. You don't skip on the, it's like going to the doctor. If you go regularly and get physicals, you'll catch stuff early and it can be fixed.
Yeah.
If you wait until it's an issue, it might be too late.
The only thing I have is that indicator that I have a flat tire just stays on constantly. And
so you never know if you know from how it drives.
Yeah. Karen bought me a little digital pressure gauge.
Tire pressure.
Every once in a while I'll check it just to make sure. And sure enough, it's fine. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing with the technology was the indicators. Like my sister was driving, she got a BMW, she's driving it and it tells her, low oil. And she's like, oh, okay. So they pull off. They're on a road trip in a national park. They get to a service station. They buy some oil. They go to put it in. She can't figure out how to put it in because it's so the technology. Yeah. It's not like it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
And so
intentionally.
Yeah. And then they especially with a BMW. And so then she finally figures it out. And there's plenty of oil in it. And she's like, well, what the hell? But the thing is like beeping because it's like urgently low oil. So when they finally get back, they take it in. They're like, oh, the sensor is faulty. That needs to be replaced. And that's expensive. And she's like, just take the effing thing out. You know, I will, whatever happened to the dipstick, I'll check the oil. You know, oh, we don't have dipsticks anymore. What are you talking about? No, that's what the sensor's for. But it's faulty. The dipstick was never faulty.
That's
you put
true.
A stick in there, you take it out, and you see how much oil's in there.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Foolproof.
Yeah. So, anything else going on?
I'm looking forward to the fact that I will never have to buy gas again. I will not have to get an oil change again. I won't have to get it smogged. I'm back to, I can use the carpool lane for a few years by myself. So that'll be nice. But other than that, no, it's status quo. 4th of July was great. Got the day off of work, which is rare for a weekday. I was able to go down to my parents and have a barbecue with my sister and her family. And my parents, obviously, watched the fireworks over Dana Point Harbor. It was great. And the drive home was another fireworks show all along the 5 freeway. And then, so it was very good holiday. And now we're back into it. We're officially now in the dog days of summer for the NHL calendar. All the free agents of value have signed and players are still available and will sign here and there, but nothing's going to move the needle and nothing's going to be a long-term deal unless somebody gives somebody a 4-year, $3.8 million deal for a third pairing defenseman. But who would do that? Log on to Locked On LA Kings for Monday's show, and Eddie will break down. Did a good job of breaking down just how bad the contract for Joel Edmondson was and why it's one of the probably 5 worst contracts for a defenseman in the NHL. Would you agree?
I would, especially for a third pairing defenseman.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. And Mark-Edward Vlasic still takes the cake.
Yeah.
Now that Jeff Skinner has been bought out, and Jeff Skinner redeemed himself and played well in the recent years. Mark Edward Vlasic, hands down, the worst contract in the NHL, followed very closely, I think, by Elvis Merzlikins.
Yeah, you probably should do a show on that, frankly, in the offseason. Yeah. We could do something like that.
And RIP to Cap Friendly.
Yes, that's probably the biggest hockey news for me this week. It officially, it lingered on a few extra days than we thought it was going to, but I use that site literally every day. And that's for that to go away. It sucks, man. But you know, something we'll have to get used to. What is it? Puckpedia. Yeah, we'll have to get used to that now.
Yeah, their web traffic has gone up exponentially today. And I have noticed from watching you on Locked On LA Kings, and anybody that's a longtime listener here of the Puck Podcast knows that you were never the armchair GM.
Yeah,
you have had to become one on that show. Yeah, and you are much more into the contracts and the roster space and the terms and the no movement clauses. You're much more fluid on that. And it's a sport in and of itself, just watching the moves teams make and kind of figuring out the hows and the whys that different teams make different moves. And when you know that every team has a 50 roster limit, 50 contract limit, those are valuable. And you can't just burn one on some dude that's going to be a seventh defenseman or a healthy scratch. It's like, what are you doing? We don't need that. Call somebody up in the AHL to do that. If you want to have somebody just sit in the press box and eat popcorn with Dave Taylor, friend of the show or the Hall of Famer. It's fun to watch though. And Cap Friendly was such an incredible resource for that, because you could look at every team's cap situation, every player's contracts, compare apples to apples, make mock trades, see what would work, what wouldn't. And I'm hoping Puckpedia fills that void, because the fans love it. We know for a fact that teams loved it. There were teams that used Cap Friendly every day as their resource and are now building their own database. So it's a big opportunity for Puckpedia, and hopefully they don't get bought by a team in the near future.
You mentioned having the day off for 4th of July. I also had the day off, and it was the day after for me. The night of the 4th, because I go into work at 10 o'clock or so. So the night of the 4th into the 5th, I got the day off, and Friday is the day we always go to Disneyland, my wife and I. And so I told her, a few weeks in advance, and if you go to Disneyland anymore, you have to make reservations to go now. You can't just show up and say, even if you have whatever the passes you have, you can't just show up and walk in anymore. You have to make reservations. So
that's absolutely crazy.
I hate it. I hate it a lot. But anyway, so Karen will make reservations weeks in advance, because you can make them several weeks in advance. So I had told
her, more than one at a time.
Yes. Okay. I think it's maybe three. I don't know. So I told her, hey, I'm going to have that Friday off, because we always, I have to sleep before we go. So we usually go in the afternoon. So I said, if you want to go really early, I'm off that night before, so I can go to sleep, whatever, at midnight, and we can get up at 9 or whatever, whenever you want to go, we can go. And she's like, okay, let's do that. So we get up early. It's we're going down there. It's we're going to get there really early and blah, blah, blah. We walk up to the thing to scan your phone to let you in. And the person's like, oh, you're blacked out today.
What?
We were blacked out today. And she had forgotten that we were blacked out for the day after the 4th of July. And she looks at me like, oh, my God, I can't believe we talked about this. And we did talk about it like months ago or a month ago, whatever it was, and we'd forgotten. And so she's like, well, we just got up early, I had a day off, and we came down here for nothing.
Kind of. So you hang out at Downtown Disney?
We actually did. We walked down Downtown Disney a little bit, and it was hot as balls that day. So I was actually very happy to go ahead and go home, because it was going to be 90. Not that it's, I know there's oppressive heat going on in different places, and they'd probably be like, 90 is nothing, and you're right. But it was, and we go every week, so it's not like, oh no, we'd plan this forever and this is the only time we come. No. I'm like, yeah, we'll come back next week, whatever, let's go. So that was the first time that had happened, where we walked up and it was like, nah, you can't come in.
That's crazy. Yeah. The So one of the cars I looked at was the Hyundai Ioniq 5. And at the dealer I was at, they had a Disney 100 edition, limited edition of the Ioniq 5. And I asked the guy, what's that about? And listener Michelle Price, if she's listening, hello, Michelle. We were at her wedding, which was at Disneyland.
That's right.
I'm like, she would have bought this car because it has Disney, I call them hubcaps, rims, I guess, are shaped like Mickey ears.
Oh my.
It's got a Disney 100 limited edition nameplate on the side, on each side. There's Mickey ears in the trim on the interior and on the back on the headrest. So, and they only made 250 of these. So I said, and the guy's like, yeah, I said, this has got to be a pretty popular car. He's like, it's $10,000 more than the other Ioniq 5. So nobody wants this one. They figure out. I'm like, well, that could be. I said, you know what that, I said, if this came with, this should get you free parking for life at Disneyland. You should pull up to this and just point to the sign on the side of your car and they should just let you right in because it's one of 250. I've paid an extra $10,000 to get it with your branding. You're going to let me in. And if they did that, I think some people would buy it because then it's like, that's worth it for 10 years of that. You're going to have the life of the car. If you're a regular Disney goer, because parking ain't cheap there, right? It's like $40 each time.
Yeah. Well, not for us. We have a pass, but
right.
Obviously,
but you're paying for the pass.
Obviously. Yeah, of course. So yeah.
If you could not do that and you've got a nice car, it'd be great. But guys like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. I'm like, they got to give you something other than just some Mickey hubcaps and a Mickey Mouse headrest. Come on.
You and I were talking before we started recording about Willie Mays, who had passed away recently. And there was some story about Willie Mays had some sort of a coupon, or I don't know what it was. He back in the day, he bought some sort of a thing where you could like fly anywhere in the country or something. Some insane thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember they sold those.
Yeah. Where he was one of the last people that had still had one of those. He could fly wherever he wants. Just like,
yeah,
show his card. And they're like, what the hell's this? You know? Whatever,
yep. So. No, I remember they, it was, I forget which airline did it or if it was airlines, but it was very expensive at the time, but it was and it was always standard coach. You're not flying first class. You could pay to upgrade, I'm sure. But yeah, you got, and it was never, I don't think you could reserve a ticket, but you could get like a standby basically, and you could fly anywhere. And I remember I heard somebody else had one of those. And yeah, I can only imagine what the reaction was as he showed up in 2023 to be like, I'd like to fly to Dallas, you know? All right, it's going to be $800. No, no. this card here, I don't care what that card says, old man. It's going to be $800. Get your manager. All right. Yeah, it's good. Sorry about that, yeah, Mr. Mays.
We're going to call corporate and figure this out.
There's an old man here that thinks he's got some card that's going to get him a free flight. I'm just calling to me. What's that? Really? Really? Hall of Famer. Well, I'll be damned. My apologies, Mr. Mays.
Speaking of Disneyland, I did have a quick telephone chat with Hart in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia earlier in the week, and he's coming to Southern California for the first time ever.
I hope he has reservations.
Yeah, I do too. But going to Disneyland, and we're going to meet up on a Friday. And he had requested in an email that you may or may not remember that I gave him a tour of the Galaxy's Edge, which is the Star Wars land there. So I called him up and I'm like, hey, what are you? Are you really a serious Star Wars fan? Is this something you really want to do? And he's like, well, I own 3 lightsabers. And I said, say no more. You don't need to say anything else.
You have to take your lightsaber that day, Eddie.
Okay, sure.
And
he said, well, it's not like I take them out and play with them every day. I'm like, no, I understand. I understand. You don't need to say anymore. I understand. You own 3 lightsabers. That's enough. You don't need to convince me anymore.
I mean, that's one more than you need. You only got the 2 hands.
Well, you got to collect them all, right?
It's not Darth Sidious here.
No, it was General Grievous.
General Grievous.
With his 4 hands that he could wield the lightsabers with.
I hated that thing in Battlefront.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's something we did all the time that we don't do anymore. Yeah. I did go on not too long ago and just to see. And sure enough, people are still playing it. So
same people running.
I didn't play it long enough to find out. But yeah, probably a couple of them are still on there just dominating everyone. And
we were very good at that.
We weren't
excellent. No, but we were very good.
Yeah.
And
but there's people that are just insane.
Yeah. And so what my point was, we were very good. And yet there were people that made it so that we were like, we just picked up a controller.
We saw the name. We're like, okay, we forget this. We're not.
Yeah, I'm not going to get dominated by these guys.
Do you remember the names?
I don't. I would if you told me.
One of them was Baby Shakers.
Yeah. With a Z, of course.
With a Z, What was the other guy? His partner in crime. And as soon as we saw them, we're like, F this, guys. We're out of here. Baby Shakers.
And you know people saw our names and were like, those two dudes always play together.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. we farted around long enough. Let's get to the news of the week. And my golly, there is not a lot. I mean, look. After the draft and free agency, I think everyone in the hockey world is like, we need a break.
Right.
Immediately.
Yeah, we went from Stanley Cup final, NHL awards, draft, free agency, all within 7 days.
Yeah.
So NHL world is taking a break. And every team had their development camp.
Yeah.
Like this past week. So the GMs were busy watching the players they've just drafted and seeing how guys are coming along.
So there was a little bit of news, and we'll obviously comment on that. Probably the biggest news was that number one pick, Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks, made his decision. We had talked about it on last week's show. Would he return to Boston University for his sophomore year? Would he decide to start his career as a professional? Well, he's decided, let's get this thing going. He signs a three-year entry-level deal with the San Jose Sharks, so he will be in San Jose. He will be a NHL player this season. He only had the 1 year at Boston University, but not a bad 1 year as he led the Terriers in goals and points, helped them get to the national semifinals, the Frozen Four, won the Hobie Baker Award as the top player in college hockey, culminating him, of course, being the number one pick in the draft. He's got to be the number one center for the Sharks, I would assume, opening night. But we'll see how it goes. But if you're a Sharks fan, obviously, it's been slim pickings of late. Last year was just awful, being the worst team in the league. But, hey, you got a marquee player to build around now, and that's got to be some excitement at least to see him in a Sharks sweater starting next season.
I mean, they have some options at center. I don't know that he's going to be the first. You know, you still have Logan Couture there. You've got Mikhail Granlund there. I'm not saying these guys are – they're definitely going to be ahead of him, but I don't know that I would start him off at first line center. And if I was the San Jose Sharks, if I was Mike Greer, first of all, I'd be delighted because I was a former NHL player and now GM of an NHL team. I'd be loving life, but I would have encouraged him to go back to college for the reason of, I would rather have you for that extra year on your entry level deals. You know what I'm saying? He's going to become an unrestricted free agent and get paid that much sooner. So he's 18, 19, 20 on this deal. I'd rather have your entry-level deal be 19, 20, 21. Then I re-sign you to a deal, and you're that much more developed and ready to play and be an impact player. Not saying he's not NHL ready right now, but the team is still going to be awful. I'd rather have you go dominate another year in college, develop physically, mentally, come back in a year, and you're ready to go champion at the bit. Maybe even at the end of your college season, you sign with us and play the end of the season with us, like we saw some players do this past year. So you get a taste this year, and maybe, but that would still burn your first year of your entry level deal. So I might have encouraged him to go back, but obviously the buzz is hot. They want to sell tickets. They want to get people in the seats. They want to give their TV deals a reason to broadcast their games, and seeing the number one overall pick is going to do that. So not a surprise ultimately, but when I heard him talking that he was still not sure, I'm like, I would think he might be better to go back to college for another year, win back-to-back Hobie Bakers, and then come into the league. But we'll see him on opening night, and looking for it, it's a reason to watch the Sharks, if nothing else.
Yeah.
The one that surprised me more was the second overall pick. Not that he wasn't ready as well. But that's more of a physical position that you can get exploited. And I'm sure you'll talk about him, or maybe you're not. But he also signed his entry-level deal, Artem Levchinov, and he's going to be on the Blackhawks opening night. Because the difference is all three guys, all three top picks. Bennett Seneca, the Ducks, is third overall. He signed his entry-level deal. Artem Levchinov signed it with Chicago, and obviously Macklin Celebrini with the Sharks. Celebrini and Levchinov are both going to be in the NHL because they were college players. So when you sign it as a college player, you can't go back to college with a pro contract already signed and in place. Bennett Seneca is going to go back to the Oshawa Generals and play in juniors because you can do that with your entry-level sign. So all the Ducks did was that when you're done with juniors, your contract's already taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. And so he's not going to be in the NHL this year, but the other two are definitely going to be.
I did see the Dallas Stars are taking their game broadcast to the world of streaming. They are parting ways with the Diamond Sports Group, the owners of the Bally Sports Network. Stars announced a 7-year contract with, and this is the name of the company, A Parent Media Company Incorporated, to launch a streaming platform under the terms of the partnership. All Stars games not on national broadcasts will be streaming on a direct-to-consumer service called Victory Plus. According to Sportico, Dallas is the first major men's sports franchise in the United States to move its local broadcasts from a regional sports network to a streamer. The Stars said that Victory Plus will be a free, ad-supported service. The Stars joined the Vegas Golden Knights, Utah Hockey Club, and the Florida Panthers as the NHL teams that have departed from the Diamond Sports Group since 2028 to seek other broadcast agreements. So I bring this up more of a, there's a lot of other teams out there, yours and mine included, that are going to be looking for other options here in the near future as far as where their game is going to be broadcast. So the Dallas Stars are taking their own route, and we'll see if any other teams follow suit with that.
Who did you said Vegas, Florida, and who was the other?
The Utah Hockey Club.
Well, I mean, no kidding. They're not going to be on Fox Sports or Bally Sports Arizona anymore. Of course they have a new network. But the other two, Vegas and Florida, so Vegas did this last year. They won the Stanley Cup, and then they went from cable network to an over-the-air broadcast. Free to watch if you have an antenna or it's part of, you know, your streaming, YouTube, TV kind of stuff. The Florida Panthers this year win the Stanley Cup, leave Bally Sports, go to over-the-air broadcasts. Dallas leaves Bally Sports and launches its own streaming network. I love this. Free to fans. That's fantastic. Make your game as accessible as possible. The Ducks contract with Bally expired at the end of last season. They are in the same position the Kings were last year. The Kings contract with Bally had expired. We were wondering, you and I, all summer, what are the Kings going to do for their games? And it got late in the year before they finally made an announcement that they were going to back to Bally. They had signed a 2-year deal with them. And the Ducks have expired. They're in that same situation now. I'm hoping the Ducks do one of two things. Either broadcast on over-the-air broadcast networks that are free, or do exactly this. Call up the Dallas Stars and say, hey, how do we get in on this? Who's this company? Can we partner with them to launch something down here? Because that would be fantastic. The point that I think they should emphasize, especially hockey teams, make your games as easy to watch as possible so that more people will watch your games, and then you will get more interest in your team. And once your team gets some interest, maybe fans will buy some merchandise. Maybe they'll buy some tickets to go to the games. But by putting yourself behind a paywall like Bally Sports with a always shrinking cable and satellite audience, you're making the games harder to watch. And then because they're on that, you and I can't get a streaming service locally that broadcasts them because it's blacked out. You have to have something that provides Bally Sports West or whatever. It's infuriating. So this is genius by the Dallas Stars, in my opinion. One, they get to control their own broadcast. Two, they'll never be preempted. They'll never be knocked off the air. They will have their own shoulder programming, pregame, postgame, intermission shows. They can do their own programming off air. It's a streaming, so it's on demand. You can have on demand recaps or interviews with Stars legends or Where Are They Now or anything, you know, Stars Weekly. You can, it's a one-stop shop for Stars fans to go and watch programming. I love this. I think more teams are going to do this. And I think once the Stars prove its viability, I think a lot of teams are using them as the canary in the coal mine this year. Once they see that it's successful, I think this is going to be the future of regional sports programming.
We did have some hockey history this week. The Seattle Kraken hiring Jessica Campbell as an assistant coach, making her the first woman behind the bench in NHL history. 2022, the Kraken hired her as an assistant for their AHL affiliate, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, where she became the first woman behind the bench in the AHL. In her time with the Firebirds, she coached the team's forwards and power play unit and was instrumental in helping that team reach the Calder Cup Finals for two straight seasons. The Kraken, of course, hired head coach Dan Bylsma, who was the head coach in Coachella Valley, and he now brings his assistant up with him to the NHL club. So again, Jessica Campbell, your first female assistant coach in NHL history.
And, you know, like you said, she's not only familiar with the men's game, having coached in the AHL, she's familiar with the head coach. She's familiar with the organization. It's a perfect fit, perfect promotion for them. Good for her. She's a former hockey player herself with the Malmo Redhawks over in Sweden, the Calgary Inferno, and the Cornell Big Red here in the United States. So this is the first. She will not be the last. It's a glass ceiling broken. Long overdue, I think, because we've had capable women in hockey for a while now, and this is overdue. It's good to see. And once the newness wears off, you know, the first one, you're not going to think about it. The second one will make news, the third one won't. And within a few years, I think it's going to be pretty commonplace to see women behind the bench as coaches in the NHL.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to see a female GM here in the near future as well, with Cami Granato and Haley Wickenheiser, and there are a couple others that are assistant GMs now in the NHL, so that would not surprise me to see something like that in the near future as well. One front office note to pass along, the Washington Capitals promoted Chris Patrick to their general manager position. Brian McClellan, who was holding that job, going to remain as president and will oversee all facets of the hockey operation. So he gets a promotion as well, I suppose. But the actual general manager duties will now be handled for the Washington Capitals by Chris Patrick. Some moves to update you on, not a lot. And we did touch on these, a couple of these as we were heading out the door. Vladimir Tarasenko signing with the Detroit Red Wings, leaving the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. He gets a 2-year deal. $9.5 million, $4.75 million per season. The Philadelphia Flyers re-signed forward Bobby Brink. He was a restricted free agent. He gets a 2-year deal worth $3 million, so $1.5 million per year. Jack Roslovic signs with the Carolina Hurricanes, 1 year, $2.8 million. You had Ty Dellandrea, who was acquired in a trade from Dallas, signs with the Sharks, 2 years, $2.6 million. And Carl Grundstrom, acquired by the Sharks in a trade with the Kings, 2 years, $3.6 million. The Seattle Kraken re-sign forward Eli Tolvanen, 2 years, $6.95 million, $3.48 million per year. One of the a fun name to always say, Henry Jokiharju, defenseman, signs with the Sabres, 1 year, $3.1 million. You had Logan Stanley, defenseman, the big defenseman for the Winnipeg Jets, re-signing with them for 2 years, $2.5 million. The Flyers re-signed defenseman Igor Zamula. He gets 2 years, $3.4 million. And you had the Utah Hockey Club re-signs forward Barrett Hayton, 2 years, $5.3 million. And the Wild signed defenseman Declan Chisholm to a one-year $1 million deal. So as you mentioned at the top, kind of the leftovers, I did kind of look into see, you know, who's out there that's left. And probably the biggest name is Max Pacioretty, as far as someone who has not been signed, but all the guys that are left are either, you know, declining, aging, or have had a lot of injuries of late. So we'll see. But he's probably the biggest name out there that has yet to be signed. Let's see who Tyler Johnson was out there, Mike Hoffman. There's still some familiar names out there that are looking for work, but that's the type of guys we have left
Yeah, it gets thin real quick.
Yeah.
When you look at the players, you're like, I remember that guy. I don't want him, but I remember that guy. And so any moves that are made now, and we still, you know, Marty Natchez still has a trade request. He could be moved at any time or re-signed and retained by Carolina. They may change their mind there. We know that certain teams are trying to move different guys. Patrick Laine has asked for a trade out of Columbus. That could be done at any time. Columbus, of course, still needs a head coach. They got to do that. They got to take care of that business. Potentially Jacob Trouba gets traded, potentially different deals here and there. But at the most part, what you see is what you get barring a trade. And we still do have 2 months before training camps get up and running in full speed. So we got some time, but the urgency is gone. And there's no reason for a team to make a move right now, as opposed to a couple months from now. That's when the urgency will begin again, because you want to get guys traded before camp so that they can get accustomed to your systems, get in with their line mates, and be as ready to go on opening day as possible. And opening day has been set, right? We have the
calendar. The schedules are out. Yeah, that's right.
So everybody's got their schedule for next year. It starts on October 1st, I believe, or no, October 4th is the first game from the Czech Republic. The Devils and Sabres are going over there for a couple of games. So October 4th and 5th are the first two games. The first games in North America are October 8th. You've got the Blues and Kraken, the Bruins and Panthers, as the Panthers will raise their banner at the Amerant Bank Arena. And then the Blackhawks and the Utah Hockey Club make their NHL debut on opening night, Tuesday, October 8th. And then you go from there, Wednesday, October 9th, you got a bunch more games. Your Kings don't get going until the 10th. And as is always the case, I love this, my Ducks do not get going until the 12th. So a full 4 days of games here in North America before the Ducks take the ice. And I think they will be the last one.
Yeah.
It's always sucks because everybody's got opening night, and then you're playing some team that's on their third game already. So, and by the way, their first game is not at home. It's on the road. They will be playing Macklin Celebrini in what will be his, second game of his career already. So, but no, looking forward to it already. October 4th, you know, not that far away, ultimately 2.5 months, and we'll be back having NHL games.
I did see that 14 players filed for salary arbitration. The most notable names, one of them you mentioned, Marty Natchez for Carolina, and the always fun to say Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. The Buffalo Sabres, probably the two most recognizable names that are on that list. Just kind of scanning here to see if there's any news in the last few minutes. Craig Morgan, who is still for the moment tweeting about the NHL. I know he's on vacation because I reached out to him to see if he wanted to come on the show, but he's tweeting on vacation. Apparently he says that per NHL commissioner, deputy commissioner Bill Daly, Alex Morillo has agreed to and has signed all the necessary agreements and paperwork to relinquish his rights to the Coyotes. The process is complete.
And so, the NHL has thus released his family. Alex Morillo's family is now free to rejoin him, and hopefully they are safe and sound. No, I'm glad that's done. I'm glad he's a former NHL owner with no rights to anything. Now they can go and sell the rights to the Arizona hockey team to whoever wants it, whoever can viably put together an arena and actually support the team financially. So I'm glad he's gone, because he was awful.
There's one other funny, odd hockey note I was going to mention to bring to close a brief first period. Anything else I missed? Anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything else that?
No, there's very little going on in the NHL.
Did you see that following the completion of the Stanley Cup final, ESPN broadcaster PK Subban found himself dealing with lingering ear pain, and it only got worse as time went on. So, as one would do, he went to the doctor, asked him, you know, I've got this pain in my ear, can you help me out? So the doctor took a look in there and found out that a piece of his earpiece had broken off and had lodged next to his eardrum, and that what was causing the issue. And they obviously pulled that out, and voila, No more ear pain. But yeah, if you don't know, in television, these guys wear these earpieces, and so they can hear the director giving them some direction, like, you know, you're like, oh, it's a two shot now. You and Mess are on the screen together, or whatever.
Right.
And I guess a piece of that broke off, and 8 days later, he finally went to the doctor and figured out that's what it was. So
that's crazy. Well, first of all, the audio technician, because those are usually union jobs.
Yes, they are.
That person's in big trouble. How did you not notice a piece had broken off, or what was going on that this, unless he did it himself, but that's scary that would be in there for that long. Because, you know, he was traveling and sleeping and everything else, and amazing that did not fall out on its own.
Yeah, yeah. So a very, very funny, kind of funny to us.
I was going
to
say funny.
Very, yeah.
Funny that it worked out. Okay.
Funny, not funny, haha. Funny, wow.
Yeah, I would not have thought. And usually those are rubber, like soft rubber.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting.
We're excited to be joined once again by longtime voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, who is going to talk to us a little bit about what's been going on with the Nashville Predators. Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Eddie, and so much has been going on. When you even get a text from Brian Burke that says something's going on here, you get the idea that indeed something has been.
Yeah, well, certainly to say that the Predators made a splash in free agency is a bit of an understatement. Let's see now. They signed former Lightning captain and two-time Stanley Cup winner Steven Stamkos. They signed former Conn Smythe Trophy winner and Stanley Cup champion Jonathan Marchessault. And just for good measure, they throw in coveted defenseman Brady Shea. What would you say the excitement level is right now for Predators fans?
Let's just say that I couldn't settle down my cell phone throughout the course of that Monday afternoon. That was absolutely incredible. The and then to see how many people turned out for, and these veteran players, these veteran signees were not going to be there, but at developmental camp last Saturday, to see how packed the stands were for that gave me a pretty good idea that I think people have been positively influenced by it all.
Well, I'm an LA Kings fan, and I would have loved to have gotten one of the players that you guys signed, but three substantial additions. Was this, well, I think I know the answer to this, but was there any inkling at all that the Predators would do something this momentous?
There was an inkling, but we're talking about the number one player involved, Steven Stamkos. And we will recall in a summer in 2016, Steven Stamkos re-signed, Shea Weber was traded for P.K. Subban, and there was another momentous thing that all happened in about a 25-minute span. So we thought that after the offloading was done to the Kings, by the way, of a certain forward, that maybe that cleared up just enough room for the Lightning to come back and re-sign their captain. It proved not to be sufficient. And that made that the targeting done by general manager Barry Trotz not a bad first all on his lonesome general manager job done by Barry Trotz.
I do want to talk to you about that, but first, let me put you in the position of head coach Andrew Brunette, which I'm sure he's very excited to figure out exactly how this is all going to fit. But how do you think this all fits? Where do you see Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea in the Predators lineup?
Well, Shea is going to be, at worst, top four, if not top two, with Roman Josi, if you want to put two lefties out there together. And I don't worry about that as much as coaches seem to. And as far as the working with Marchessault and with Stamkos, I have a feeling they're going to be second liners behind the first line from last year, which would be Forsberg, O'Reilly, and when you look over on the right wing side, Gus Nyquist. So I think it's going to be a question of who is going to center with Stamkos going to the wing. We're pretty much decided that's going to be the case. Stamkos at one wing, Marchessault at the other, and then who goes in between? One candidate right now has been a guy who's been around for quite some time, including going back to the Cup finalist team, and that would be in the middle – you'd have to think you're probably going to go with somebody who is established in playoff time. So the original candidate that everybody was thinking about coming in there probably won't be the guy that gets fitted in. So I only know that talking with Andrew Burnett last Saturday, he has all sorts of combinations going through his mind. It could be Colton Sissons, yes, but let's see who else gets a chance in there. And that's going to make training camp, which, as we all know, they're truncated greatly now by the available days. That's going to make things very, very interesting.
Well, you mentioned Barry Trotz, obviously a Stanley Cup winner, as a head coach, certainly well-respected in the hockey world. I wonder about him, though, maybe looking to put his stamp on this team. He follows a Hall of Famer in David Poile, yep. Who had been the only GM in the history of the franchise. And this is him finally getting his chance to kind of show the hockey world, you know, yeah, I was a good coach, but now I'm a general manager. I've moved into a different role. And he's kind of saying, hey, I can handle this. I can do this. It's quite the statement for him.
Is it ever? And I think that all of us have enjoyed being around him again, particularly those of us who were here in the early years of the franchise when he was the head coach and working, started out as a scout for David Poile before the expansion draft in the summer of 1998. And I think he has done an absolutely fantastic job. I think he was fortunate in that he came in where David was his mentor for the first few months of his time on the job, and then they worked together. It's kind of like I recall David Poile telling me, and I did this for the people who were doing his Hockey Hall of Fame preview, he was the assistant to Cliff Fletcher with the Atlanta Flames. And Cliff said that David used to walk into his office all the time with these proposed trades that they could / should make. And Cliff had to settle young David down and say, hey, wait a minute. These are people. There are families involved here. We have to think about all of that before making such moves. So I think Cliff was thinking back then about something that we didn't know that much about yet, fantasy sports. And he was working with him in that regard. So David passed that sort of thing along to Barry Trotz. And I think the lesson was well taken.
I wonder if there was a phone call to David Poile, or if David Poile had the same reaction that we all did and thought maybe, wow, boy, Barry Trotz is going for it here. I don't know if there's been a chance for him to comment on this or not, but I would be interested to hear what his reaction was to this move.
There has not been a chance yet around me or reporters here. David has been at his headquarters now down in Florida on the Gulf Coast. So we have not had the chance to go over that with him.
We're talking with Pete Weber, a longtime voice of the Nashville Predators, excited to talk about what's going on with the Nashville Predators. And they were not only active in just free agency, but also re-signed veteran goalie Juuse Saros. Yeah. His name had come up as a possible goalie on the move, but Barry Trotz said, nope, you're our guy, and signed into a long-term extension. Was that also a surprise as well as the other moves that were made?
What may have been the surprise out of that, Eddie, would have been the fact that it was the eight-year term. Thinking that might have been a little bit shorter, but Juuse wants to stay here. The team wants him to stay here. And now I guess the real question comes up, who is and when is there a timetable for Yaroslav Askarov, who was drafted in the first round several years ago, the timetable for him to come up and take the job? Or become 1A to Juuse's 1B or 1B to Juuse's 1A.
I mean, obviously, it's hard to not, when you talk about Juuse Saros possibly being traded, it's hard not to think that maybe that could be a situation for Askarov. So you think that they are looking to keep him, or is that also a chip that you have in reserve to possibly use to do some other things?
I would say a chip in reserve right now. And then you just go from there, see how things develop. Askarov pretty much will be the guy in Milwaukee, it seems, this year. And having signed yet another goaltender, there weren't just the three signings. And there were, as you said, re-signings. And the Predators went around and went to the marketplace and got themselves a pretty good backup goaltender. So Kevin Lankinen no longer will be the guy.
Obviously, Pete, we don't know what's going to happen. We love to make predictions. We love to look ahead. Nashville was a wild card team last year. Obviously, this puts them in a different expectation level. You certainly got some good teams like the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. Where do you think, are they right there neck and neck with those two teams, do you think, now in the Central?
I like to have other people tell me this. And the guy who has told me the most is a former Sabres compatriot of mine, Marty Baron. And he has them now right near, he said, the top of the Western Conference, the way things have shaken up so far. And we know so much more can happen between now and the outset of training camp. Hopefully nobody is worrying about injuries or anything along those lines. But heck, if you would have told me that after a 9-2 home ice loss to the Dallas Stars here in mid-February, that the Predators were then going to go on an 18-game unbeaten string, I would have said, Eddie, hand me your car keys. I don't feel safe with the idea of you being out on the freeways of Southern California in this condition. So who knows? That's what evil lurks in the heart of men, right?
Yeah. Well, look, the Predators came close. They got to the Stanley Cup final a few years back against the Penguins. Didn't end the way you all wanted to, but you got a little taste of it.
Yes.
You see the Florida Panthers finally this year winning the Stanley Cup and what that has meant to that organization and that community. And again, getting there is great. And I know that that, I'm sure, excited the fan base, kind of gave you the chance to think of what could have been. When you see Florida and what they've done and how that has impacted hockey, I'm sure, in that area. And I know it's growing very much there in Tennessee. You've got the Tennessee State program that has popped up. You know, this obviously is a move to get to that point. You know, that's got to be very exciting for Predators fans. Again, looking to finally get that Stanley Cup for the first time. And this seems like a move, obviously, where the organization is saying, hey, fans, we're going for it. We're looking to get that first Stanley Cup like we saw with Florida this year.
Eddie, if you could have seen me in the spring, early summer of 93, going crazy at my home in Buffalo over the Southern California team that was making its way to the Cup final, only to fall prey to an illegal stick going on from there. And seeing how involved, invested I was in that. And then we are at the NSMA banquet in North Carolina the night that the Kings finally break through and win the Stanley Cup. Tears came to my eyes right away. And should the Predators be so fortunate, I think my tear ducts would open again.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think that would be well-deserved. Before we let you go, Pete, I did want to ask you just about, you know, Nashville in general as a sports town. You've obviously been there a long time. The NFL has moved there many years ago. I believe the MLS has a team there. And I know that they come up with, when you're talking about baseball, I know you're a big baseball fan. When they talk about maybe expansion in Major League Baseball, Nashville's mentioned as well. If you could just maybe talk a little bit about and how the Predators have helped with that, the growth of that area just in general as becoming a player in the sports world.
It's been something to observe. Predators and the then Tennessee Oilers came into the market at the same time in 1998. And initially there was sticker shock at ticket prices for the fans here. They had experienced major college football with Vanderbilt. You can argue about the level there. But then all of a sudden people became accustomed to paying the price for what it is that they wanted to see. And now there's another new ballpark in town, though it's not expandable for major league purposes, where the Nashville Sounds, the AAA club, plays. And there's a new stadium going up for the Titans right across the parking lot where they are now. And a brand new, for the Nashville Soccer Club, a brand new stadium seating in excess of 30,000 on the Tennessee Fairgrounds. So the question is, can they get another ballpark built? And if they do, it certainly seems like Rob Manfred would like to prop a club down right in here, whether it's American or National League. And I was involved in this in Buffalo in the late 80s, early 90s, going after a major league expansion team. I think that this area is uniquely situated to be able to take advantage of it, especially with, and the last count I had, is still there's over 100 families a day moving into Middle Tennessee. Some of them may have been your neighbors, Eddie. It seems like the price of California real estate compared to Tennessee has been a very favorable one for them to exercise their options in.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you bring that up, but you know, the Kings didn't do a lot in free agency, and we're wondering, you know, everything plays a part, as you know, Pete, but you look at a place like Nashville and how friendly that is for players when you talk about cost of living and how right. far your money can go there to compared to a place like here. And you do, I've certainly wondered about that. Nashville does seem like a place a lot of professional athletes want to go for a lot of different reasons.
Yes. And of course, we can always talk about the state income tax being non-existent here. Yeah. So that is a big incentive. I think that day, and I'm going back to that Shea Weber trade again, I think when he got traded from Tennessee to Montreal, I think his tax burden went up. And I can't say from, you know, 50% of zero, but it probably went up to the point where he really, no question, no matter how much money he made off that offer sheet signed with Philadelphia, he felt it in his pocket.
He is Pete Weber. We could talk all day, but we only have a little bit of time with him, and we are appreciative of any time that he gives us. Pete, I know that, first of all, let me say, if you got to get someone to follow Pete on X on Twitter, at Pete Weber Sports. But yeah, we're looking forward to hearing your call of Predators games this coming season. I know the off season is a time to relax and have fun, but there's got to be a lot of excitement to get things going in Nashville as well. I appreciate you just giving a little bit of your time and giving us a little insight onto the Predators this off season, and we're looking forward to seeing what they do next season.
Eddie, thank you so very much. Looking forward to the start of the year. And one of the best things that happened to me was having that developmental camp scrimmage to broadcast last Saturday. That sort of got the angst going out of my system and back to normalcy, if we can be normal after all these signings.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
All right, and thank you to the St. Louis Blues for their wonderful goal horn.
Don't you think that should be jazz, Eddie? They're the St. Louis Blues.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah? Huh. You getting a little deja vu?
I guess so, yeah. I wonder what happened there.
You tell me.
Well, I didn't press record, apparently, on the... we just had a rehearsal. We had a dress rehearsal and did about half the emails already.
And so, we will start over.
Yep.
So let's first of all get to our
so Patreon these we I should we be able to read ones. These yeah, I should be able to read these impeccably now at this point. But yeah. Anyway.
So we got some new Patreon subscribers, Eddie.
Yay.
Hello to our good friends Weatherman Keefe, William Vinterscar, B Good, and Aranthos, who we will hear from in a minute as a emailer as well. Thank you all for joining the Puck Podcast Patreon community. I hope you enjoy the exclusive perks that come with that. And we will have more coming this summer and a lot more next season as well. But we thank you very much for supporting us. If you listening right now would like to join the Puck Podcast Patreon community, you can do so at patreon.com/puckpodcast. Eddie, what are some friends of the show you want to give a promotion to?
Well, of course, Dave at Tally Hockey Jerseys. TallyCustomHockeyJerseys.com is the website to go to. You can find the Puck Podcast team store and get yourself some wonderful Puck Podcast merchandise like this gorgeous hat that I am wearing right now that you can't see, but I promise you it is amazing. And if you have any need for any custom hockey jerseys, obviously Tally Hockey Jerseys is where you need to go. Different colors, different styles, and they can help you create your own custom logo as well. If you ever wanted to create your own hockey jersey, if you got a beer league hockey team you want to get jerseys for, they are well-made and relatively inexpensive. So go to TallyCustomHockeyJerseys.com for all your custom hockey jersey needs and for your Puck Podcast merchandise.
Yeah, especially when if you've got an idea for a team name but you have no artistic ability, reach out Dave at TallyHockeyJerseys.com. Say, I got this idea for a team name. I don't know how to design it. I don't know what it, but here's what I think it should look like, and they will help you create it. And that's pretty damn cool. And then you can wear it out on your, just wear it in life or wear it in your beer league hockey team. So very cool. And I would contend that their merchandise is better than what we've seen from Fanatics over the years.
Yeah, I hope so. Yes.
Yeah. I wish Dave had gotten the contract with the NHL instead of Fanatics. We have a postcard to wrap up Doug Wilson's trip around the world. And it is from, he says, "G'day, Doug and Eddie, from Yokohama, where the adventure comes to an end. I went to the Cup of Noodle Museum and made a special one to take home," which is very cool that you can make something to take home and enjoy, customized. "And then it was to the Nissan Global Headquarters display room where they had an old car on display. Now it is time to head home. Cheers, Doug." And I'm going to hold up the photo so Eddie can see the car there. Quite old.
Yeah.
And I just bought a Nissan today, so I would love to take that one to the dealer and say, "I'd like to get this serviced, please. Checkup. Three more payments and it's mine." I did like when I took in my 2005 Saturn Ion, they asked me if I still had any payments on it. I said, no. That's been a long time. And would you like to take a guess how much my trade-in was, Eddie? How much I got to trade in my car?
$500.
$100. Oh. And I said, "Sir, the gas tank, what's in the gas tank is worth 50. Help me out here." So, you know, you've used a car to its extent when you get $100 for it. And that's basically just, we're getting rid of it. Yes. It's outrageous, Herbie. It is outrageous that they paid me that little. Our first email comes from Dave Taylor, friend of the show, longtime friend. And he says, "The offseason has been very busy. Some teams have made some big changes. Many of us Red Wings fans have been very nervous that the team has given up too much, but the signing of Tarasenko helped alleviate some of those concerns. Still a lot to do. The defense needs to be a bit more, and for some reason we keep gobbling up goalies. Still a solid start. I am a bit concerned that the Coyotes have not made any changes at all this offseason. Seriously, are they just going to go with the exact same team? Is the management even paying attention? Oh, wait. Reports are that the team has been stolen, and there have been reports of players being spotted in the Salt Lake City area. I hope the authorities have been notified. Anyway, it was great to see Datsyuk enter the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. I agree you should have no contract left to even be considered for the Hall of Fame, but I don't make the rules. In my quest to devote myself deeper to the Red Wings, I decided to join a team podcast, and since Eddie has been representing the Locked On Network, I found one for the Red Wings. They seem very knowledgeable, but don't have the charm of the Puck podcast. Have a great 4th of July, all. Dave Taylor." And this was last 4th of July, obviously, not well in advance, wishing you a happy 4th of July for 2025. There is, I would recommend, if you're an NHL fan and you want a team-specific podcast, obviously, if you're a Blues fan, check out friend of the show, Jeff Ponder's Let's Go Blues. That's excellent. But otherwise, look at the Locked On Network and check out their team representation. Do they have every team, Eddie?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yep, there's so find somebody that's talking about your team on a daily basis.
All right, thank you for that. Our next email comes from John in Chicago. He says, "Howdy, Sir Eduardo and Dougie. I hope everyone is enjoying their offseason and summer. So apparently I won the bracket challenge. Sorry for the late response. I had checked the bracket standings the morning after game 7 and it showed me in third, so I assumed that was the final numbers. They must have had a delayed update. I don't get as much free time with my summer job listening to the podcast. So I finally caught up last week on the episode and I heard the email segment and I went to go check and I'm excited and proud that my number two team could get me that win."
And doesn't sound like a number two team at all, does it, Eddie?
It's his girlfriend team is what he's talking about.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. I thought he was like, he entered two brackets.
Yeah.
I thought it was his number two team, the poop team.
Yeah, it's apparently getting to read this email twice. It's a revelation. Yeah. He says, "As for actual hockey stuff, I'm so excited to have watched the Panthers win the Stanley Cup. They were my girlfriend team for ages and have been my number two team for a few years now. I had followed your advice nearly a decade ago on taking up a girlfriend team, and it paid off. I started following them initially because my number one team, the Blackhawks, traded a bunch of players there after the 2010 Cup. So it helped having players like Versteeg and Campbell that I was familiar with playing on the team. After they departed, I kept following, especially when Jágr signed there briefly, because how do you not love the young, immortal, ageless goal scorer? not so young anymore. He says, now I am solidly a fan, and I count myself lucky to have watched my top two teams win the Stanley Cup. Hopefully the Panthers can win a few more like the Blackhawks. As for my main team, I am very happy with the moves, signings, and progress they've made over the last few weeks. No overly bloated contracts, lots of skilled veterans to fill out the roster till the kids are ready, with a few guys to help the growth of Bedard. I think Bertuzzi has the right amount of grit and skill to help elevate Bedard, especially if Hall can come back for his final season, Taylor Hall, and play decent. Honestly, with all the short-term veteran signings the Blackhawks have done, the AHL team, the Ice Hawks, is going to have some of the best young players and hopefully dominate the AHL. Give the young guys a taste of success that they can hopefully bring up to the NHL in a season or two. On one final note, my screen name is pronounced Siberius, spelled like Cy-beer and then E-S. He did it phonetically for me. He says, when I was in high school in the 90s, me and a couple of friends of mine had created a comic book, and that was the name of the main villain. I liked it so much at the time. Both emails and screen names and things like that were used. Now it's still what I go by and use almost everywhere. Until I finally meet Doug, as I met Eddie years ago, I remain loyal friend of the show, John in Chicago. P.S. You still owe me a puck for when I was a Patreon member for like 2 years. PSS, do we have an update on how Chris Kohler is doing? And because we had a practice run through of reading the emails, I had reached out to Chris Kohler. I texted him to see how he's doing, and he responded thusly. I'm doing relatively okay, still recovering as best I can. I wouldn't say I'm dandy, but I could be a lot worse. I do miss talking hockey with everyone. So that was from Chris Kohler just a little while ago. And yes, I did meet John at the Blackhawks Kings game many years ago. And I met his mom as well, as he was at the game with his mom. And we had some deep dish pizza there at the United Center. And
you and his mom did?
That's right. Absolutely. And him as well.
Oh, he was there. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, John, nice to meet you. Me and your mom are going to go have some deep dish pizza.
And that was the highlight of the game, because the Kings were just trounced. That was the memorable day of going to an NFL and NHL game in the same day. Wow. We saw the Chargers beat the Bears, and then watched the Kings lose to the Blackhawks. But it was still fun. It was a very fun experience.
So a couple of thoughts. One, he's a Versteeg fan, so that makes sense that he would follow them to Florida.
Big Versteeg fan, as I remember. Yeah. You could say he's the biggest Chris Versteeg fan other than someone in his family.
I would say even over some of the people in his family, because they will have had fights with him. And John has never had a fight with Chris Versteeg, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
He took the approach of pick a girlfriend team and stick with them long term, not changing every year. And that's a different approach.
Long term affair.
He's got the an interesting approach. I might have to take that myself, and I got to pick a good team in the Eastern Conference, because the Ducks haven't played a meaningful game in 6 years, and they're not going to play any this coming season based on what they've done this offseason. So I got to pick somebody that wins some games back East. I don't know who, but got to be somebody good. But I'm curious about John's thing. First of all, we will get you a puck. I apologize for not getting that to you yet. It'll be an autographed puck when we get it to you.
And we'll get you something for winning the bracket challenge. We'll get you a Puck Podcast hat. Doug, let's make sure we ship those out together to save a little money on the shipping. So,
yes. But he says, until I get to finally meet Doug, I remain a loyal. So once he meets me, he's no longer a fan of the show. That's what he implied.
Well, the good news is I don't know when your paths will ever cross. So
I think we have to avoid it at this point to make him a longtime fan.
Well, after meeting me, I mean, it's going to be a letdown, you know.
I don't know about that.
I'm not going to
hit on his mom and take her out for
deep dish pizza. I don't know why. That's why he doesn't want to meet you, because you're dirty mind.
Yeah, I'm the dirty mind. We will go. They don't know, but on the rehearsal, you referenced that you were not wearing pants.
Well, that's true. But
our next email comes from our friend.
Nothing dirty Ben. About that. Yeah.
True. We're all born that way. Hello, Doug and Eddie. I hope you and your respective families are doing well. It had come to my realization that I hadn't written into the show at all this past season. So now that it's officially the off season and the Stanley Cup has been awarded, I figured now would be a perfect time to chime in regarding the state of affairs with my Buffalo Sabres. with a league-leading 13-year playoff drought. Needless to say, this season did not go anywhere near as planned. The only saving grace is that we have found our goalie of the future in Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. I was bummed to see Granato shown the door, but I couldn't be happier that Lindy Ruff agreed to come back and coach this team. This upcoming season is absolutely a make it or break it for Kevin Adams as general manager. It's playoffs or bust, and there are no more excuses. We have the talent, and we have a coach who can get the job done. In an effort to keep this email short, I will conclude with this. I would like to formally resign from my title as biggest Sabres fan in Pittsburgh. The reason for my resignation is that my fiancé and I are relocating to Ithaca, New York, a truly beautiful part of the world. Moving forward, I shall be referred to as Ben, the biggest Sabres fan in Ithaca. As always, thank you for taking the time to read this email. I hope you guys have a great offseason and summer. Let's go, Buffalo. Ben, the biggest Sabres fan in Ithaca and former biggest Sabres fan in Pittsburgh. So if you listening are a Sabres fan in Pittsburgh, that title is now up for grabs as Ben has relinquished it officially. And congratulations to you and your fiance on your new life in Ithaca. Why do I know that name, Eddie? What sports thing is in Ithaca?
I have no idea.
Is there a Hall of Fame somewhere there?
Don't know.
I know Ithaca, New York from something. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. So I guess I won't be meeting Ben for a second time. Actually, a third time. I met him in Pittsburgh at a Steelers game. Then I met him in LA. He came out for a Sabres Kings game. I don't know when I'm ever going to go to Ithaca, New York. So that might be that. But yeah, I'm going to Pittsburgh here in September. So I guess I won't be meeting Ben for a third time. But we do have a run on listeners that I have met. We had John in Chicago. We had Ben. I met him in Pittsburgh, and now Ethan in Silver Springs, Maryland, who I met on my trip to DC a few years back. I'm not going to read the email, but he did comment just kind of for our, I don't know if he meant for it to even be read on the air, but he did mention, you know, hey, the sometimes the audio for the second period interview is not the same quality as the rest of the show. And so I appreciate him giving us the heads up on that. The reason is sometimes the interviews are done via the video over the video, like Doug and I doing the show right now is through the video, which was the interview. We did the same thing with Pete Weber for this week's show. It was also on video. So the quality is exactly the same. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to interview people over the phone, and that affects the audio quality. We try to make it best we can, but we will take note of Ethan's information there about the second period audio quality. So we're try to make it the same as much as we can, but sometimes those interviews, like I said, have to be done over the phone. And that's why there you may or may not hear a disparity in quality in the second period interview.
I looked up Ithaca.
Yeah.
It is an absolutely breathtaking, beautiful part of the world. Indeed, the waterfalls there are gorgeous. And they are the home to the Museum of the Earth.
Wow.
That's quite a museum. My goodness. I have a Museum of the Earth as well. It's actual size. Thank you, Stephen Wright. I have a map of the Earth. It's actual size. That was his joke.
I remember Coach Norman Dale. He coached the Ithaca Warriors. Remember that?
That might actually be where I know it from.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was something sports, and I have seen that movie 50-plus times. It's one of my absolute favorites. That might exactly be where it's from.
Yeah. For those who don't know the movie Hoosiers, and you are right, it is one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
It's just a great movie, but
and I know you're a huge Gene Hackman fan as well. Yes. He was a phenomenal actor. Yeah.
Yeah. So very good. Our next email comes from Kevin. He's in Northern Indiana, not to be confused with those Southern Indiana yokels. You don't want to get or Eastern Indiana. Oh, don't even get me started. You ever been to Eastern Indiana, Eddie?
I've never been to Indiana. We were supposed to go see Fresno State play Purdue a couple of years ago, and we didn't work out, unfortunately, which is too bad because we won that game too, damn it.
I know. We would have seen us win a Big Ten game on the road, and we'd still be
hopefully that happens for you here coming up soon.
Oh, amen. I'm going to see us play Michigan, and if we can pull off that upset, holy jumping, will that be an event. Kevin in Northern Indiana, though, writes in and says, Dear Doug and Eddie, I wanted to write in and tell you guys, thank you for the amazing show you do. I have grown up listening to the show my entire life, 15 years. Wow. First of all, does that mean you are 15? And if so, thank you. If not, thank you either way. But that's amazing.
I was talking with Hart in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia, who we're going to hear from here in a minute. And we were talking about how long he's listened to the show. And as I told him, and as I will tell you for a second time, we may not have the number of listeners of other podcasts, but as far as listeners who have been with us for years and years and years and who have stuck with the show and keep listening, I'll put us up against anybody out there.
Yes, and not just sports podcast, any podcast. You name me another podcast that has been going since 2006 and has had a number of listeners from day one that are still listening. And I'm happy to hear that list because we are on, I think it's a list you can count on your hand, and we're one of them. We are entering now our 19th season covering the NHL here on the Puck Podcast. And we thank all of you that have been around for as much of that ride as possible, whether it's week one or whether you've been here for all 19 years or anywhere in between, like Kevin in Northern Indiana, who continues with the discussion around players needing to be retired before they enter the Hall of Fame. I agree that players should not be under contract and be eligible. I also wanted to ask why builders do not have this requirement. Also, with the builder category being separate from a player, could a former player be inducted again as a GM or coach? Let's stop there. Do you think the builders should have to be retired to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, Eddie?
Yeah.
I agree. Your career should be done. Finite. And that's it. So I agree. And he says, can a builder be in separate, or can a player then go on and be inducted again as a GM or a coach? I think so. I don't think there's anything against that. I don't know that it's happened though, but I'm sure it's possible. And if not, it should be, because if you had a Hall of Fame career on the ice and then you had a Hall of Fame career in the front office or in the league office, that should count again. Lastly, I wanted to share my thoughts on the Norris Trophy, says Kevin. Looking at recent years, it seems to have become the best offensive defenseman award. With the Norris Trophy being the only defenseman exclusive award, this leaves many more defensive defensemen without a trophy. The forwards have the Selke for defensive forwards. Why don't the defensive defensemen get an award? Also, if this award was a thing, who would you have winning it? Thank you for the amazing show, Kevin, in Northern Indiana. Well, that is a good question there on who we would have winning it from this past year. I'll have to give that some thought. I would also wonder who we would name it after. Who would the defensive defenseman trophy be named after? And the first person that comes to mind is Nick Lidstrom, who was the perfect human for the Detroit Red Wings for many years, Stanley Cup champion, Norris Trophy winner, but was not elite offensively, but was more known for just being a shutdown guy you could put out against anybody. I think there should be one, because you're absolutely right. It seems like you have to be offensively talented to be in consideration for the Norris, which is not fair. It should be something that is for the best defenseman, and your primary job as a defenseman is to play defense. I remember the year the Lubomir Visnovsky led all defensemen in scoring. He was on the Anaheim Ducks. He was not even a finalist for the Norris Trophy, and that pissed me off because, as you said, Kevin, accurately, usually the best offensive defenseman is at least a finalist for the Norris Trophy, and he was not. So, but no, I think there should be one, and I would suggest naming it after Nick Lidstrom. We'll have to get back to you on who we would have winning it for this past year, but thank you very much for the email. Hope you write in more often, and for being a longtime fan.
Our next email comes from Arantos. He is in Switzerland, and he says, "Dear Douglas and Edmund, so my dear friends, I have joined Patreon as I am officially getting a grown-up job after 3 university degrees and 50 side hustles. On a number of occasions in recent episodes, you have both mentioned the Puck Podcast is beyond its aphelion, and your orbit in the podcast universe could be coming to an end."
How about the lookup by Eddie? He's corrected himself. Last time he's like, the podcast is beyond its word.
Yeah. So
well done. See, you've learned and you've added on. And now you know what that word means too.
Yeah.
That's when the Earth is at its furthest point in its orbit around the sun.
Yeah. We should have rehearsals every week, but maybe not. He says, "So my question to both of you is, what would it take to keep it going? How many Patreon subscribers or what goal would you need to have to keep the show running for another few loops around the sun? I'm positive I'm not the only listener willing to put my wallet to where my ears are and throw in a little support to keep the best podcast in the business alive. Well, thank you for that. Also, have you ever considered Discord? This could be a solution to the failing hot mic. I'm not that familiar with it, but I know many other Patreon groups have a Discord where their communities are very active, and more importantly, you can do live streams. This brings me to my next point for the off season: a hockey movie. One you have mentioned, or one you mentioned last week, that you are not all fan. Okay, let me return. Apparently, the rehearsal didn't help on this one. One of you mentioned last week that you're not at all a fan of animated movies. So I feel, what better time to make you watch what might be the world's most popular hockey movie? I haven't seen it yet and had no intention, but apparently Inside Out 2 is not only one of the highest grossing animated films of all time, but much of it takes place on the backdrop of hockey. You could maybe even do some sort of watch party with the Puck Podcast community. As I said, I don't know Discord or how it works, but I'm sure some much smarter listeners in this community can help. Otherwise, it would be a good streaming service for live games next season. I shall save my thoughts on Iserman's recent work for another email, but so far I'm thankful there are no terrible 3 to 5 year deals given to mediocre UFAs like the last few off seasons. And then he says something in another language. And then he says, cheerio, gents.
What does he say?
Arantos in Switzerland. He says, Gunis de Suna una Escheons Taglil Zami.
And what does that mean?
That means that Eddie is much better than Doug, and he is the greatest, basically.
What is this? You need to get into therapy. Why do you need to put yourself above me?
I didn't say it. Arantos said it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what that translates to. You just said a 20-word sentence in a 5-word sentence.
I mean, what do you want me to do? Talk to him.
I don't believe that's what that says. I think you're lying. As for Discord, I am familiar with that. It's something to consider. We will look into that. As for the Patreon, how many we would need, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We're not thinking of packing it out in any time soon, so no worries on that, at least. But I would certainly say there is more sand in the bottom of our hourglass than the top on the Puck Podcast duration. Inside Out 2 is...
I did see Inside Out 1, and it was very good. I think we took my nephew.
Yeah,
to see it, and it was very good. Amy Poehler is the main character voice, and...
I saw something recently that said they were very thankful the original plot for Inside Out was about a little girl, because now Inside Out 2 is about a 13-year-old girl. Had the original movie been about a boy, it would be about a 13-year-old boy, and nobody wants to be inside the head of a 13-year-old boy. His personified emotions, joy, sadness, fear, disgust, and anger, are now joined by horny.
Who would you get to voice that character?
Who would voice horny? That's a good question. Let's see. The options would be I might tap Bobcat Goldthwait as horny.
Jesus.
I think he would voice a horny 13-year-old of just the deranged. But if not him, I think Zach Galifianakis could do a good job. He could do a good creepy horny, but that's no longer a kid's movie. And it takes over the entire.
And suddenly Doug is interested in animation.
Go on. And the title would be a completely new meaning. Oh,
well, Inside Out too. Maybe not. You never know. No.
And we have now reached, ladies and gentlemen, a part of the show where I texted Eddie and said, are we recording?
Uncharted territory. The last two emails are completely new to us.
I said, I'm going to read this next email while you read the text I just sent you. And then you threw your hands up in the air and exasperatedly said, why are we not recording?
Well, the second time around was much better.
Much better. You had much less. Your Tourette's was much more.
But we did not talk about Jerry West or Harmon Killebrew. That's for... It's out. It's
just something that you and I will enjoy.
You'll never know. Yeah.
Our next email, my last email, comes from Kevin. He's in North Carolina. And he says, hey, guys, I hope all is good with you guys this week. I will try and keep this one short with the time I have to get this in. I would like to toss my hat into congratulating the Florida Panthers on their victory on winning the cup. So the Flyers draft was not that bad. I feel we could have done better, but things just don't always work the way we hope, especially when you're doing it from your couch. It's been talked about since the draft that the Flyers did make an attempt to move up in the draft to take the Blue Jackets spot, but they apparently didn't want to go through with it and wanted to stick with making the fourth pick, the Blue Jackets. What isn't very clear is if Ottawa was part of these talks. The Flyers wanted to get the seventh pick and then use that to move up to four. The real target for the Flyers was Ivan Demidov. Danny Briere said that the board started to go a bit sideways when teams didn't take the expected players for those teams. Ducks. They threw the entire draft, I think, into the haywire with the Bennett Seneca pick. But what are you going to do? He also mentioned that some teams just stopped accepting calls. That's why you're in person. Get up and walk across the room. With this not being a very deep draft, I feel we did okay. I am now going on record saying that this Flyers team this year is not going to be the same team we saw last year. I do think we will not do as well, and that call it what you want, but this is by management design. Let's look at this year's draft and the lack of trades to make those moves. Now let's toss in free agency. We really did not have a chance down on anything, and that's by choice. So that puts us in a spot to play just as well, and you can and develop what we have right now in the system. Next year's draft will be where the Flyers really start building. Six picks in the first two rounds in a much deeper draft, then some freed cap space, not much, but a few. Here is a name you guys would never have thought to be brought up, Ilya Brizgalov. He is still on the Flyers cap for another few years, 2027 to be exact, at $1.6 million. That contract is still the worst contract the Flyers could have ever done. To think him over Bobrovsky is what the Flyers could have done if that went the other way. The Flyers development camp has been going well for the Flyers with Oliver Bonk, the new draft pick, Jet Luchenko, Jack Berglund, and Alex Bump all getting high praise on their playing skills so far. I love the idea that you could have a team with Bonk and Bump on it in the near future. Fantastic names. Also fitting for a team that was the rough team of the Flyers of the 70s, the Broad Street Bullies. Bonk and Bump are like the animations that would come on in a Batman 66 cartoon when they would punch somebody out. Bonk! Bump! Those were... I love DC Comics. I love everything about them. That show is rough to watch, man. I never liked that show. Even as a kid, it was just like too silly, too corny. Not my cup of tea. Kevin continues. Before I would go, I would like to address Alex from Grand Rapids email last week. You, sir, can go for... Oh, no, I read that wrong. I, too, would love to see you guys do a Mount Rushmore of hockey players for each team. That is a off-season guarantee, I think, because we got content to fill, as you could tell from this first period this week, and it's not going to get busy anytime soon. I have mine all lined up and ready to go when you guys want to do it. I may even add a few other teams in there as well. The next thing I would like to add is what he said about the podcast. I have over the years told you what a great job you guys do week after week. It shows that you guys love the sport of hockey, and that comes first before the popularity of the show. I have great respect for the both of you that you take the time out of your busy week to bring us this show out of the love of the sport. You never put the love of your own teams ahead of the show. It's just part of it. You are both absolutely hands down the best hockey podcasters out there. And I would also like to tip my hat to Jeff Ponder and Chris Kohler, who both fill in and do fantastic jobs. I know that one day you guys will walk away from this, and that day the hockey world will lose a fantastic source of information about the goings-on in the NHL. Now that I have inflated your egos a bit more this week, I wish you guys all the best. Looking forward to some great off-season topics. Kevin in North Carolina. P.S. I hope, Eddie, that you're able to buy pants and wear them during the show in the near future. Also, that you can add more teams on your interview list. It's one of the best parts of the show, hearing from other teams, reporters, and announcers. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I hope you enjoyed this week's interview with Pete Weber. And for all the kind words, pumping our tires, as Roberto Luongo would say back in the day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And as we said, we're not going to walk away anytime soon, but we're also not going to do this show forever. So there's somewhere in between those two is the end date for the show. And the off season, yeah, we're going to have some fun topics for sure, because we got time to talk about some silly stuff. And we will announce in advance when we're going to do the Mount Rushmore and what teams we're going to do each week, so that you, the listeners, can email us your picks for those teams as well.
Our final email comes from Hart in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia. Of course, the closer And he says, gentlemen, hope all is well. I've got several things I want to talk about, so let's go. A fellow listener was raving about this year's recently concluded playoffs, and I couldn't agree more. My Jets won only one game, and yet this was one of the postseasons I've enjoyed the most in years. The finals' never-ending storylines and momentum swings were a pure delight. The Oilers came close and truly a bounce in different direction once or twice in their cup champs. This is not always the case. Compare this to 2021 when a severely overmatched Habs team got spanked in 4-1 in a yawner of a series. Cinderella teams are fun to be sure, but the clock strikes midnight when they get to the finals in almost all cases.
Let's stop there, Eddie. Yes. I want to talk about that. Do you think the fact that there were no Cinderella teams, there were no big upsets, led to the playoffs being as good as they were because we had elite teams in every round?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made it more fun because the teams that were there were the best teams. And we all agreed that we're seeing is the best of the best. And this is the matchups we want. There's not God bless your Kings, but if they had made a run, nobody outside of Kings fans would have been happy about it.
Yeah, probably true.
Yeah.
He continues, last week, Alex the Wings fan wrote you guys a beautiful email, in my opinion. It expressed a lot of the feelings so many of us have had for the show. I was pleasantly surprised to hear how proud Doug is of it. I'm quite sure some of the appeal of the podcast is that you both come across as so humble. You guys deserve to be proud of your hockey legacy. Man, we're getting a lot of nice words said today. He says,
This is where my dad would be like, do some of you know something about my medical charts? Have you heard something?
I found the show some months into your first year, and I've never found another podcast on any topic that I listen to with any regularity whatsoever. I'll occasionally tune into another hockey podcast to check out something related to a specific interest, but none has ever become part of my routine. You guys should be proud of this show. It makes me happy to hear that Doug recognizes how good it is, and I hope Eddie does too. It's easily the best hockey podcast, and I've tried them all. Yeah, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyway, none of that was planned, and my real purpose in bringing up Alex's email is to discuss his Mount Rushmore comments. First, I love the plan to go through 32 teams, all-time top fours. Fellow hockey historians like me are going to geek out hard on this. For Alex, the great Pavel Datsyuk is not on Detroit's Rushmore, I'm afraid. Don't get me wrong, Datsyuk was one of the most enjoyable players to watch ever, but the Red Wings' legacy is old and rich, and there are five guys ahead of him. Hal, Lidstrom, Sawchuk, Lindsay, and Yzerman. The fourth spot is tough, and I'm struggling between Yzerman and Lindsay. Let's leave it there for Wings Nation to straighten it out. I have a request. For the Jets Mountain, can we take back our history, please, and include Jets 1.0 like Howerchuk and Solani? And can we leave out both Coyotes and maybe even Thrashers players? Would you agree with this, or should the Thrashers maybe still be included?
The Thrashers have to be included, I think. Ilya Kovalchuk is one of the best players in that franchise's history, unfortunately for them.
For me, if you wore a Jets sweater, then you should be able to be included in the Jets Mount Rushmore.
Now that the Coyotes are gone, I think the entire history of that organization goes back to Winnipeg and is absorbed in. So they have both the Thrashers and the original Winnipeg Jets and now the current Winnipeg Jets as their history. So that is how I will look at it. And Utah, it's going to be a very tough Mount Rushmore because you're a brand new team. We have to look at you as if you're brand new because you are. That's how they're looking at it. They have no records. The first goal scored will be the first goal scored in that franchise.
My vote would be if you played in Winnipeg and you wore a Jets sweater, then you are eligible for their Mount Rushmore. That's my opinion on it. All right. Hart continues. Another emailer asked, what do you do in the offseason? And you guys have a bunch of great suggestions to watch. May I add one more to the list? Go on YouTube and type in Legends of Hockey, Ted Lindsay. Start there. That one will hook you. There are a bunch of others, or you could just buy the whole series if you have a DVD player. The Milt Schmidt one is great, too. Legends is my favorite hockey history series by a country mile, even better than Hockey, A People's History. Andy, the Leafs fan in Manchester, you're going to love Chris Tandem, my man. We had his brother in Winnipeg, and while they're different players playing different positions, the Tandem boys are good hockey men who play honest games. He's also what the Leafs need, defensive acumen and jam on the blue line. That remade decor with Tanev, OEL, and Hakanpaa sure look fixed to me. And we know the Leafs can score. Hope's the killer, but I'd have some if I were a Leafs fan. Hope's a killer, but I'd have some if I was a Leafs fan. I got that. All right. Warm regards, Hart, in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia.
We did it, Eddie. We don't have to do it again.
Third time's the charm?
No.
Man, great emails this week, and I'm not just saying that because you guys were so kind with your words, but
no, very
appreciate good. It. Very that was nice, very nice.
I think the off season is the best time for feedback like that because it's more, you know, you're not reacting to games and stuff in the moment. It's more big picture and stuff like that. So who's the best four players from every team and stuff like that? That's more fun. Why, you know, could somebody go into the Hall of Fame as both a player and a builder? That's more fun to think about. And that's not something we're going to think about in mid-December. So I enjoy this time of year. And if you, the listener, have anything you would like to tell us about, anything that happened in hockey or an idea or anything in the world, feedback@puckpodcast.com is the email address to send it to. And we will read them on next week's show as we always do. Again, patreon.com/puckpodcast to join the friends over there. Get some exclusive content as well. And 2 years after the fact, get a signed puck, apparently. My apologies again, John. We will get you that as soon as possible. As soon as we have a hat and a puck ready for you, it'll be in the mail. That is it for this week's show. Thank you again to our friend of the show and special guest in the second period, Pete Weber, for joining Eddie Garcia for a talk about all things Predators, a team that is very much looking forward to the start of the season and has the hockey world buzzing about the offseason they've had. And Pete Weber will be on the mic to call it all this coming season. Thank you, the listener, for listening. If you have the time and the are kind enough to do so, a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to the show on would be appreciated. Spread the word to hockey fans on whatever social media platform you are frequenting, or just keep coming back each week and listening to the next show. For my partner, Eddie Garcia, I am Doug Stolhand, and we will be back next week with another episode of